Hi.
Welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Welcome.
I'm Megs.
I'm Hannah.
And today we have a nice, relaxing candle. We have a good atmosphere going here. Hannah looks scared.
I do, because you're really, like, leading this. Like, I thought you were going to be like, oh, we have a relaxing episode, and then you went into, like, the candle and everything, and I was like, oh, shit, is this going to be, like, a really crazy one?
Okay, so this is another unsolved disappearance.
Oh, good.
And, I mean.
No, you know. And you know what? I have been watching, like, Unsolved Mysteries lately, and I've just been pissing myself off even more. Because you just know how much I hate unsolved things. But it's so intriguing.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Well, so I guess here's to more unsolved stuff.
It's one of those situations where truly this story has more questions than answers.
Okay.
Caitlin Aubrey Ledbetter was born and raised on the outskirts of Indianapolis. Her parents, Tracy and Scott Ledbetter, met in Indiana in the late 1980s and had their first child, Kaylee, in 1993. Caitlin was born in 1995, and then Aaron was born in 1998. They moved near Tracy's family in Indiana, and they owned several properties near Indianapolis and Martinsville during Caitlin's childhood. It sounds like things were going well financially, at least for a while, but it didn't last, and Tracy ended up filing for divorce in 1999. I don't know if it's specifically money-related or what else was going on, but either way, they decided to separate. The court records suggest that Scott moved back to Tennessee, and Tracy stopped showing up for proceedings. So the divorce was dismissed a year later. Also, I forgot to mention, I did listen to a podcast called Where Are They? So I got a lot of good information from that one.
Okay.
In 2000, Tracy gave birth to Caitlin's youngest sister, and Tracy was arrested in 2002 on battery charges that were later dismissed.
Geez, that was a big change.
Yeah, and then...
He went from birth to battery charges. Okay.
Then...
Oh.
Tracy tragically ended up passing away in 2013.
Yo!
She was only 38 years old.
That was an insane timeline. What the hell?
I know. And so after their mother passed away, Caitlin and her brother Aaron were sent to live with their father in Tennessee, while their older sister stayed in Indiana because she was old enough at that point to be on her own. And then their younger sister went to live with her biological father. In 2021, Caitlin was 25 years old, and she was living with her father, Scott, and his girlfriend, Crystal. Caitlin graduated from Ben Davis High School. Then she got a job at a screen printing business. She typically spent her days working, and then she hung out with her boyfriend, Dustin, in the evenings. They had been together for over a year. On May 2nd, 2021, something happened. And this
Wait, what year?
2021.
Oh, shit, okay.
Yeah.
It's a recent one.
This is very recent, and this is where we have, like, more questions that are going to pop up everywhere, because nothing makes sense.
These cases always intrigue me so much when nothing adds up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like full of discrepancies and things that you're just like, I don't think so.
Okay.
Somewhere between 5 and 5:30 a.m., depending on the article that you read, there was allegedly an argument that took place. This argument was said to be between Caitlin and her father's girlfriend, Crystal. But Scott was home and he witnessed the argument. This was the last time Scott Ledbetter says that he saw his daughter as she suddenly leapt out her bedroom window.
What? Okay.
Okay, so we're already like, what? Caitlin was only wearing pajamas. She was barefoot and she did not take her cell phone, but we're going to discuss that phone more. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is already weird.
Mm-hmm. Scott says that after Caitlin jumped out the window, he saw her heading towards the woods. To this day, we don't know what the argument was about, but there are two possibilities that have been discussed.
They didn't say what the argument was about?
No.
What?
I know. And this is where I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
So some reports say that the fight was because Crystal and Scott were upset that Dustin had been staying over at the house. Okay. But Dustin wasn't there that night. So why would they be fighting about him and staying, like, about him being there and staying over at 5 a.m. when he is not there?
If it was, like, 9 or 10 o'clock at night and, like, she'd asked if he could stay.
That would make sense.
But that's a weird 5 a.m. fight.
Right, because is he going to come over and sleep for a couple hours at 5 a.m.? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Other people have stated that Scott and Crystal never cared about Caitlin's boyfriend staying over, so they don't think that makes any sense.
I'm still so confused as to why they, like, nobody just said what the fight was about.
I agree. I'm real confused, too.
Why don't you just say this is what the fight was about?
It would clear up a lot of stuff here. A lot of problems.
That's a weird thing to keep on the DL.
Yeah, yeah. And it only gets more strange as things unravel here.
Okay.
It was mentioned that Caitlin allegedly fell asleep with her dog in the room. And she panicked when Scott kicked her door open. So this is like the second scenario of how the fight could have started. I don't understand how this would spark a fight between Caitlin and Crystal if Scott was the one that kicked her door down and startled her. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. What? Okay.
Unless, you know, Scott and Caitlin start fighting about this because she's scared. She got woken up abruptly. And then Crystal jumps in there and somehow the two girls start fighting. I don't know. It doesn't work in my head, but maybe there was something else going on.
Okay. All right.
But
is the whole story this weird?
Yes.
Okay. So we're in for a ride.
All yes. Right. So if either of these things are true, okay, then one of them happened and that's how the fight started here. But what caused Caitlin to panic and jump out of her window?
Barefoot in her pajamas without her phone.
Yes.
I'm just saying, like, in this day, like, of age, like, I'm telling you right now, everybody, all right, not everybody, but most people.
The majority.
Keep their phone with them no matter what, especially if they're diving out a window and dipping. Like, you're going to take your phone with you unless you don't want to be tracked. But
yeah.
Why wouldn't you, like, at least put shoes on or, like, put something other than pajamas on?
I grab my phone when I'm going outside to the mailbox just in case something happens on the way.
Right.
I mean,
we are a little bit more paranoid than most people because yes. I do the same thing, but...
That's true.
Like, we are. In 2021, you're going to have your phone on you. I mean, literally, the only explanation of not taking it is if you don't want to be tracked, but...
Mm-hmm.
This is already very weird that, like, she didn't bring anything with her. Like,
right.
Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing went with
yes.
her.
Yes. Like, if she was running off to her boyfriend's or something overnight, like, I could see running out in your PJs, but... And I guess, like, it could be logical that you don't have shoes on if they're downstairs and you don't want to go near people, but you would still take something with you. You're not just going to dive out your fucking window without everything.
Wait, it doesn't make any sense. And this was reported as a 5 to 7 foot drop from the ground.
Jeez, okay.
So this isn't just like stepping out the window here.
And really running out barefoot, that's always, because I walk barefoot literally all the time, I see how people cringe when I do, like when I walk over rocks and stuff, because I know that most people do not have ridiculously calloused feet like I do.
True.
And I have watched other people that don't walk barefoot, like, walk barefoot, and they're, like, literally cringing walking on grass. So, yeah. Like, that's just, that in itself is already weird, unless she has calloused feet, but I don't know, it's still weird. It's the middle of the fucking night.
And she's heading towards the woods.
Yeah, there ain't no way.
So it just doesn't really add up. Because you're going to
be walking over sticks and unknown shit in there? Yeah. No.
You could get very injured fast. And then it's like, why wouldn't she go out the front door?
Yeah, that's a really valid point. I mean, depending on whatever the hell the fight was, I have no idea. This is, no, I can't come up with anything that's logical.
To me, if this actually happened the way that they're saying it did, that she leapt out the window after a fight and she didn't take her phone or shoes, that to me makes me think she was in danger or thought she was in danger.
Right. Especially if you're diving out a window with that big of a drop.
Yeah.
That's a huge freaking drop.
She didn't have time to grab anything. Something's going on.
Okay. Yeah.
So Caitlin allegedly jumped out the window around 5:30 a.m. and left her phone behind, according to almost every article that I found. Yet a family member said they received a text message from her at 7 a.m.
Well, that would be mighty difficult if you don't have a phone with you.
It sure would. And they said that the message was oddly worded, and they didn't believe that it was actually from Caitlin.
Okay.
If she didn't send a text, the only other people in the home, to my knowledge, were Crystal and Scott. So why would they be sending a message from her phone?
Pretending to be her.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So that wouldn't add up either way. Scott called his other daughter, Kaylee, and he's like, listen, Caitlin jumped out her window and took off. And Kaylee lived about 5 hours away, and she said, okay, I will drop everything and come look for her. And Scott said, no, that's okay.
What?
Yeah, so he does not want her to make the drive to get there and help look for her sister. He just wants to tell her, hey, your sister jumped out a window.
If it was like, God, this is all so weird already. If it was like a situation where like she didn't come home that night or something and they couldn't get a hold of her, I could see maybe being like, yeah, don't drive the 5 hours just yet because we don't know what's going on yet. Give sure. us a little bit of time. But mm-hmm. when she dives out a fucking window, yeah, you bet your ass I'd be like, anybody that wants to come look, do it, because this is weird.
Right. I mean, if mom called me and was like, Hannah jumped out a window and headed towards the woods, I don't care where I am. Right. I'd be getting my ass there to come find you and figure out what's happening.
And like 2 hours less than the 5 hours would have taken.
Yeah. 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 So Kaylee was like feeling the same way. She made the drive anyways. And so the next morning on May 3rd, Kaylee woke Scott up and said that she wanted to report Caitlin missing, but he said he actually wanted to sleep a little bit.
Yo,
they could go later.
No, absolutely not.
So this wasn't...
Fuck your sleep.
Right. And, sorry, you shouldn't have been sleeping anyways. You should have been looking for your daughter, in my opinion. But, okay. So they went to the police at 9:20 a.m., but the police refused to take the report because Caitlin is an adult and she can jump out a window and run into the woods in her PJs if she wants to.
They didn't say, like, hey, this is freaking weird?
No, they just flat refused to take the report.
Okay, well, people don't normally do that.
So, and also, that would make me think, like, earlier, I had mentioned, hey, if she jumped out the window, she's probably feeling like she's in danger. Or the other option is, what if she's having some type of mental health crisis?
Well, that's valid. And with jumping that big of a distance when you're literally just diving out a window and not like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Not like sitting there and like calculating it out before you dive out it. Like, mm-hmm. you're not necessarily going to come out of that without an injury.
Right.
So, like,
that's true.
They didn't think, like, hey, there might be a hurt person mm-hmm. that's, like, scared for their life or something running around. Maybe we should look into that.
No.
Oh, okay.
They said she's an adult. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Caitlin's family did show up to search the area, but said that Scott helped look for her one time and did not really seem interested in helping after that.
Good. Looks for her one time, sleeps it away.
There you go. One full week after her disappearance, the police decided to search the woods, but they never stepped foot in the house.
Okay.
The place where she lived and allegedly got into a fight was not searched.
Okay.
I'm very, very confused by this. The police also did not believe that she was actually in the woods because her phone had sent a text at 7 a.m. and she wouldn't have had cell service in the woods.
She doesn't even have her phone.
I know. Another confusing part to the whole story.
They would have known that had they gone inside and checked it out.
Correct. They sure would.
Okay.
So they brought dogs in to search. And they tracked her scent to the edge of the road, and they stopped the search. They were like, well, she left with someone, case closed.
Okay.
Yeah. So someone obviously picked her up. Some people do believe that Caitlin was picked up at the edge of the woods, and if that's the case, I'm truly asking, how did that work? She didn't take her phone, so she couldn't have contacted anyone.
Right. Which means that she would have gotten in the car with somebody she didn't know.
Exactly. And that's what I have here. It's like, so a random person who was just driving by the woods is who picked her up and we're not concerned.
Right. It's, yeah.
You know, that being an option, like.
And the other, like, if that were to be the case, like, if it's not a shitty person by some miracle, like, they didn't think it was weird that this chick is running down a road at 5 a.m.
in her pajamas and no shoes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, right. See, it's just more questions with every single fact that we have here. A concerned citizen, Eric Hammock, got involved in Caitlin's case because he just didn't think that the police were doing a good enough job to find her. He was the one that discovered the Overton County Sheriff's Department didn't conduct a comprehensive search effort until 9 months after she went missing.
That's helpful.
Her friends and supporters say law enforcement totally failed her. It was discovered that the original detective on the case, who later left the Overton County Sheriff's Department, lost evidence because the new detective told the family they no longer had critical texts from Caitlin around the time of her disappearance.
I will never understand how evidence gets lost so frequently.
Obviously, like, I'm not privy to how they file information, but yes, that would be something that I would be very curious about because it happens so often in the cases we discuss.
Yep.
And in this one, we don't know what information was actually lost. I mean, they mentioned the text messages, and they said that it's critical information, but that's all they gave. When the police showed up a week after Caitlin's disappearance to search, her father, Scott Ledbetter, had an active warrant for his arrest, and he was not arrested.
What?
So I find that to be kind of strange information.
They just blew over that?
Yeah, so they didn't search the house, and they did not arrest him when he had an active warrant.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Alrighty then. In November of 2021, WKRN in Nashville reported that many people in Overton County, Tennessee, believed that local law enforcement waited 9 months before conducting a proper search of the property. And truthfully, I don't know how it could be classified as a proper search for two reasons. One, it was obviously well after Caitlin's disappearance, and two, the house was gone at that point.
What?
Let me tell you. If you thought the story was weird, it's going to take a sharp turn. So, Caitlin disappeared in May of 2001, and later that same year, the police ended up back at the house in August due to a fire.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
This is why
Absolutely not. No. That is, no.
I, like, just started researching this case a little bit, and I'm like, I'm sorry. What?
No.
What happened now?
No. That is, no, that is way too much of a coincidence.
And you know how I feel about those.
And especially, yeah, with them, like, not entering the house and everything. Yeah, yeah, that is fucking weird.
Gets more weird.
What? Okay.
Overton County Sheriff's Department and Hillham Volunteer Fire Department were dispatched to a residence in the 100 block of Turkey Town Road around 6 p.m. on August 18th. The home was fully engulfed, and they were told a woman was inside. The fire was fought through the evening, and once it was suppressed, the body of 36-year-old Crystal Tyson was located in the basement.
What?
This was Scott's girlfriend.
What?
Yeah. So what? Then it makes me wonder, did Crystal Tyson know more about Caitlin's disappearance?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there are way too many coincidences here.
And I mean, obviously, could a freak accident happen? Absolutely.
Not a freak accident like that.
Well, I'm just saying, like, weird things happen. Do I believe in coincidences? No, I don't. But, you know, you have to wonder, was evidence destroyed in the fire?
Yes! Of course it was! I'm not wondering. I already know.
Oh, okay, okay. Hannah solved it.
God.
And I couldn't find the cause of the fire, cause of death for Crystal, or why investigators believed that she couldn't get out of the house.
Yeah, naturally.
Scott Ledbetter was listed as the only survivor of the house fire.
Of course.
But survivor means he had to have been there, right?
Right. Exactly.
So, Scott, what happened?
Right.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt? Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, That Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit, bitch, and be fierce on a huge-ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
It's just like, okay, he was there for the fight with Caitlin and Crystal. He was there for the house fire. But somehow we don't have answers to what sparked the fight or the fire.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was a good play on words there.
Thank you. The area of Hillham is where Jackson County and Clay County and Overton converge. It's nothing but hills and steep declines. This isn't an area you can just run into the woods. Like, people say you actually have to be really, really prepared.
I don't want to just run into area. The woods anyways, so.
No. The weather was 58 degrees on the day that Caitlin allegedly jumped out the window, which isn't the worst, but it's not ideal for somebody who's wearing pajamas and no shoes.
Well, and when it's 5 a.m.,
yeah,
it's the sun isn't out, so it's going to be a little bit colder out there.
It's chilly. Caitlin was last seen wearing white pajama shorts with blue polka dots, a light blue sleeveless crop top t-shirt, and she's barefoot.
Okay, so she's, like, hardly in anything, actually.
Exactly. This isn't, like, big fluffy PJs.
Yeah.
And so it's like, was she wandering around the woods cold and maybe asked someone for a ride? Perhaps she hitchhiked with someone that harmed her. Some people think that she ran away and started a new life. Like, that's one of the theories that I kept seeing. And maybe that would explain why she left her phone behind. Like you said earlier, then she wouldn't be tracked.
Yeah, but if you're going to run away and have a new life, you're at least bringing an outfit with you.
That's exactly it. Because I put here, I was like, okay, if that happened, why would she take off in her pajamas and not bring any belongings? Nothing.
Man, she probably never even left the fucking house.
And at the very least, why not wear shoes? And why jump out the window if you're planning to start a new life?
Yeah.
That doesn't add up to me. Caitlin has never accessed her personal accounts or used her social security number since her disappearance. There is such a small amount of information available for this case. The media has reached out to the police, but they never got a response. And I would like to know personally why they seem to be so disinterested.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I mean, I know that a lot of times in cases, they have to keep everything real tight-lipped, and I do understand that. But when I researched this one, it feels different. It doesn't feel like tight-lipped. It feels like I don't care.
So they never found her body?
No.
Yeah, no, she never even left that house.
I mean, obviously we don't know, but yeah, that's definitely a theory.
Yeah, I mean, that's mine.
It just bums me out that the police never entered the house because we don't know. Maybe they would have found something in there that told us what happened to her or where she was.
They probably would have. That's why it's burned down.
Right. I know. That's what really, really bothers me about this. And almost every article said she did not have her phone, but then the police didn't search the house. So, like, how do we know? How do we know Caitlin didn't have her phone with her?
Yep.
And then what are these critical texts that they say they had?
Probably texts to, like, her boyfriend or something saying that she feels like she's in danger because she was.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. And according to the Where Are They podcast, Scott's children no longer want a relationship with him and have said that he's mean. Which, if that's true, that's really telling to me because, I mean, they already have a sister that disappeared. A lot of times, something like that will bring families closer.
Right.
You know?
No, that's very true. No, it absolutely does.
So if everybody is backing away from him, I don't know. Just something to think about, I guess.
One family is going to know you best, so.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin is a white female with blonde hair and blue eyes. Her ears and nose are pierced, and she has tattoos of music notes and a feather on her forearm. She also has additional tattoos on her upper arm, leg, and ankle. If you have any information, please contact the Overton County Sheriff's Office at 931-823-5635. That's all the information that I could find about this case. And
son
I,
of a bitch.
I know. I definitely hope that we can get a follow-up on this. Hopefully something will happen. Let's put it out in the universe. Because this is definitely a really, really weird case.
Yeah. I'm not even sure you gave me any answers. You just gave me all questions.
Exactly. I know. The more I think about this whole story, the more confused I get.
Yeah, you just gave me a bunch of questions. That's it.
Because they had an argument. We don't know what the argument was. She allegedly jumped out a window without her phone, but then her phone sent a text. But then we lost all of the critical texts.
And then they never checked the house, and then it suddenly burned down.
It burned down. It's like, and then Crystal is killed in the house.
Yep. You
it's
just
so
gave
much.
Me a bunch of questions. That's it.
It's so much to take in. So that's all we have. I can read you a little dream.
Oh, goody.
I know how much you like these.
It's just a little dream.
A little dream. Okay, this is a good one. In my dream, I was a man. Have you ever been a man in your dream, Hannah?
I do not think so.
Okay.
Though if I was, I would hope I'd realize it so that I could just, like, pee on everything.
Wow. That's your goal, okay?
Oh, I wouldn't have to squat. I could just whip it out and pee wherever I wanted.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, so I was a man and I had like a full-blown beard.
Okay.
Like I was a manly man. And I had a wife.
Wow.
And images were downloaded into my brain and I saw that my wife was going to encounter a murder scene.
Okay, is it bad that I'm more shocked that you had like that you were married in your dream versus you being a whole ass man?
That would be really shocking. Nobody would ever believe that. Actually, a couple days ago, I was talking to Dad, and I was like, Dad, guess what? Something happened. You'll never believe it. And he's like, what? You went on a date? And then I just laughed. I was like, no, that is unbelievable. You're right.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. That's freaking great.
So, I'm a whole ass man in this dream. And so, you know, I see in my brain that my wife is going to encounter a murder scene. Then I understood that I was supposed to just go to bed. So, I did.
Well, this is following suit with the last story, actually.
And so my wife came into the room and like touched my back. And when I looked at her, she was a gray colored alien.
What the fuck, Megan? What is this? Is that the end of the dream?
This was my... Oh, wait. Do you think I was abducted? And I thought it was a dream.
Yeah, you were abducted and you got changed. Your sex got changed. It's fine. You just straight turned into a freaking married male. That's what they do when they abduct you. They change your gender and everything. And
maybe
then they just switch you back.
They knew that it was so unbelievable that I would absolutely think it was a dream.
Oh,
because this
yeah.
could have never happened.
That's it. Your wife turned into an alien.
Yes.
I don't even know what you want me to say at all that. Were you smoking some before bed?
Not that I can recall.
Wowza.
So there you go.
Okay. Thank
that
you.
That was my dream.
That's going to be on my mind a lot today. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, so make sure to follow us on any of your podcast apps. Tell us the stories you want to hear. Like us on Facebook, X, Instagram. Leave us a 5-star review if you love us. Tell your friends, tell your cats. Bye.